and welcome to the 11-11 Make-A-Wish podcast. If you're listening to this and it's not yet 11-11, then this is our opportunity to bring 11-11 back to you and make a wish.
But people should aim to listen to it on time.
Yeah, just listen to it at 11-11. If you're 11-11, you can either set a timer for 11-11 and listen to the podcast then, or just imagine. You could just imagine that it's going to...
Or change your clocks.
Yeah, just change all your clocks.
Yeah.
Or stop listening right now and wait till 11-11.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, build up the anticipation. Go get yourself some comfy clothes. Go get yourself maybe a beer.
Get in your little jammies. Get all cozy next to the fire.
Yeah.
Well, I'm your host, Kayla, your quote-unquote host. I'm joined again today by my co-host, Dr. Tyler Lemko.
Thank you.
And today we have a very special guest. We have Alex Perot.
Thank you, everybody.
Joining us. Alex, what do you have to wish for?
I could wish for anything on this Make-A-Wish. When you say Make-A-Wish... Make-A-Wish has kind of been branded as like the...
Keep it a secret. No, oh, Make-A-Wish. Yeah. No, like no.
Sick,
I know. That's
the sick dying kids making a wish, one last wish for the...
Imagine you looked at the clock and it says 11-11 and you're going to close your eyes and make a wish.
Oh, okay.
It has nothing to do with sick kids.
Okay. But we're also trying to take the viewership from the Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
Bring them here.
We want their audience.
I got a good idea.
Because the
to make everybody happy. To make everybody happy, my wish is no more sick kids.
That puts That's them great. Out of business.
Yeah.
Right. Which makes you guys win.
And then
it's kind of like I forget whose joke it is, but
also the sick kids win for, you know, not being sick anymore. That's the big win.
But then they don't get any sick prizes.
Yeah, kids just go back to getting nothing.
You know, I know a guy who was a Make-A-Wish kid, and he sat 50-yard line at the Super Bowl and then lived. Cool, right?
Very good.
Ultimate con. He sounds like the ultimate con man. But the reason why I was inspired to, not necessarily inspired to ask you on, but you guys were about to start talking about like all the things that you would do, like how the world, how you want to like save the world, but it's like out of your hands.
So let's hear some more wishes.
Yeah, let's hear what some more wishes. Change?
All right. Well, recently, as in for the last decade.
Oh my God!
Not recent.
Bad start.
That is the opposite of recent.
It's a bad start.
In the grand scheme of things.
No. It's a good start, but like shit. It's a 10-year long wish.
I mean, in the sense of the universe, that's very recent.
That's really how I see time, is in the sense of the universe. So, I've been thinking about how to help people with their health.
Yeah.
Seems to be going in the shitter worldwide.
Yeah.
Seems to be a problem of our own making.
Yeah.
Cheers.
I feel a little powerless, to be honest.
You know, health, equality,
wellness in general.
All these important things are all the antithesis of commerce.
Capitalism,
essentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's cheap to make McDoubles, that's what people are going to eat.
If it's cheap, if it's cheap to eat McDoubles too.
Yeah,
if it's
exactly.
Cheap to eat McDoubles.
Yeah.
That's right.
So any ideas?
I mean, the whole concept of cheap needs to be redefined.
Well, no, not when people can't, you know, make rent, because the way the system is set up is that even working minimum wage is not enough to make a living wage, then yeah, you kind of do have to get by that way.
I'm glad that you brought up the system.
Yeah.
The system needs changing.
Yeah.
Bingo.
So that, I think that's where we start. I'm not sure how, but... Yeah.
So
yeah,
okay,
sure.
So everyone agrees on that, I think. 98% of people agree on that. Then there's 2% who disagree, and they get to choose what changes.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. And it works really well for them.
Yeah. So then it goes back to, you know,
By the way, time out.
Yeah.
Where are you? Because I've only seen kids pass by you.
I saw one lady speed walking.
Yeah, I'm at the Make-A-Wish Foundation party.
Yeah.
I'm someone's wish.
They're all dying.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, the goal in life is to just die as slow as possible.
And also as least horrifically as possible.
I'm gonna disagree with that.
Oh yeah, that's your wish.
No, not yet. But I'm gonna disagree because I think. Yes, the least, you know, slow and painful and numbing and strenuous and you know, taxing on everyone around you, all of that, yes. But horrific could be cool. And if I explode, you know, on stage in front of 100,000 people, that's horrific, but that's pretty cool. I'm down.
The thing is, I wouldn't say that's horrific. I would say that's awesome.
Well, that's what I mean.
Spectacular.
That's what I mean is it's a gray area.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Least painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by horrific, like a long and painful, slow,
yes,
really garbage death.
I decided that the way I want to die is to tell someone I'm going to die now and then close my eyes and will it to happen. And really, really impress someone.
Yeah. Have you picked the person?
No, I don't know who yet.
Is that going to be a complete stranger on the day of?
Oh, that would really mess with someone. If you walk by a stranger on the street.
Just walk by and be like, this is because of you.
Oh,
and
my God.
Or just like whisper like, I just want to let you know this is your fault, and then just die spontaneously.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin someone's life like that. Yeah.
Good prank though. Good last prank.
Good prank. Good bit. Yeah. That's dedication.
Or I always wanted to die by after I die, I want someone to throw my body out of an airplane in a Superman outfit.
Oh my God. Just a bit.
Actually, do you remember our deal for my funeral?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Good. I could share it, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah.
As long as not too many people listening to this are at the funeral, because it needs to be genuine.
Yeah.
But my plan is after whatever speeches happen and blah, 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 and it's wrapping up and the ceremony's over, I want Alex to walk over to a stereo and press play. And Pop Goes the Weasel comes on. And I told him, just enjoy the crowd. Just enjoy the nervous looks of everyone who thinks I'm about to pop out of a coffin.
But then you should also have like some kind of like contraption in your coffin.
That pops
where
you out. Here's the
pop
thing.
Goes,
Here's
it
the
pops
thing.
You out.
I'm not in the coffin. He turns the lights on. I'm spinning from the ceiling fan.
Oh my
and the
God.
Space Jam theme song is on.
I don't know any ceiling fan that would be able to support your weight.
Don't worry, I've been working on one.
You're building one for his death.
Yeah.
I have a quote that, for some reason, this came to mind, but it was like, they say that a cigarette takes like 7 years off of your life, mm-hmm. but that's not actually true. It just seems longer. Because you're not, like, you know, enjoying those vices.
Right, because it's making the last years worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then also, your thing, all I could imagine was, like, I don't know if you guys have seen, like, this short, I don't know if it was, like, a Vine or just a YouTube video, but it's, like, this girl who's, like, in this indoor, like, playroom, jungle gym type thing, and it's, like, please display me at my funeral like this, but it's like kind of like a zip lining thing that she's just like harnessed into, and then you just see her body like violently like being kind of like swung around. But anyways, I'll send it to you guys, but that's what I was thinking of when you said your body swinging from a ceiling. Oh my God, I'm excited
for your funeral.
Now it's a spectacle.
Yeah, it's sponsored by Hennessy.
And Tushy Bidet.
Yeah, everyone gets a Tushy. You get a Tushy.
Tyler's last dying wish was like no one with stinky asses anymore.
I actually, it's super morbid, but the other day I started designing an urn because I was like, if I'm going to spend eternity in something, I want to make it. And yeah,
it's just like a wax sculpture of your own body, but then they put your ashes in it.
It's a remake of the NBA championship trophy.
Is that what it is?
So you've decided that you're gonna be in an urn, an urn is like for you get cremated.
No, if all goes according to plan, no one's finding the remains. But. Yeah,
it's for ceremonial purposes. You're not actually inside there.
No, put some fucking ramen noodle flavor in there.
Do you want to make a wish?
My wish is, we were talking about it earlier. I'm going to stick on that. Not on this podcast, but in text messages. I wish people were better at listening to life rather than trying to make their life happen. I think everyone would be happier, more successful, healthier, if everyone just went with it more.
Yeah, but that's a very, like, you know, privileged point of view, because it's like sometimes life is telling them like, oh yeah, hey, you're stuck in this extremely situation.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyways, like that's a valid
wish. No, it's very true.
Because it's like an optimistic.
All right, I changed my wish.
No, wait. I like,
yeah, I like
the wish, but I did have something to discuss. I'll still let you change your wish if you want, but change it right away.
Well, no, it's pertaining to that. Yeah. I want to change it so that everyone has the ability to go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all playing.
The thing we were talking about, though, is the, like, choosing kind of the freedom of choice. And to your point, Kayla, of, like, there's different levels of, like, privilege and,
yeah,
and what you can choose. I've been thinking a lot lately about the human brain.
Nice.
And specifically the power of creativity. Mm-hmm. And the unlimited ability we have to create anything. Not just physically, like more mentally.
Yeah, however,
yeah,
the theme of this podcast is capitalism. That doesn't allow for it.
No, I disagree completely, okay. Actually. I think there's a specific point about capitalism that kind of puts people in a box, and you know, it's a system. This is how it works. This is what you do, and most people follow it. But I think that's because they haven't tapped into their creativity to think outside the box. I think their capitalism is a choice if you want to take part or not. Most of modern society as we see it, especially in the Western world, is that, and it seems like there's nothing else. But most of our planet is unoccupied by human beings.
And so I find it very problematic. It's a major fault of humanity, I think, that we made it so that you can't just go live wherever you want.
Mm-hmm. I disagree with that. I think you can.
You think that people should or shouldn't?
Yeah, you should, and I think you can.
Yeah?
I think you're not taught that, and so it's very hard. But I think you definitely can do that.
But not legally, but you have to be okay with morals versus laws.
I think Canadians actually have like a very good, like,
but I wanted to just be like, I'm moving to New Zealand, can I do that?
I think you can. There are like different kinds of visas that you can apply for. You can get like a working visa, you can get like a vacation visa. But I think like as Canadians,
right.
I think like Canadians
there's also
have like a pretty easy time, like, yeah, moving into other countries.
And there's also so many people trying to get out of their countries for valid reasons.
Yes.
When like there's so much empty space in like the Yukon.
Yeah.
Like why aren't they allowed to just go make towns there?
Well, that's literally what colonizers did.
Yeah.
And, that's literally what the colonizers
exactly.
did.
Exactly. They did it and then made it illegal.
Yeah. But I mean, right. Like, yeah,
but you
yeah,
can always do it. One of the top UFC fighters was born in Africa and literally walked through deserts to get to someplace in Europe.
Okay.
I was like,
not North America.
That's Jesus. This sport's coming.
All right. He didn't walk through the ocean, but he was a homeless person just living in the land, walking towards his dreams because he came from a country where, like you say, had no privileges, and just did it. Literally something that would be unthinkable to 99% of people in the privileged world because you're not forced to think that way.
Well, it's similar to, I mean, obviously a more extreme, but it's similar to the people who are like, yeah, I'm just going to go move to LA and live in my car and bus tables if I need to because I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
Or a comic. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And you could just grab a hammock tent, start walking, and at any point where you find two trees, that's your room for the night. That's your bed.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
I haven't asked you about this in a couple of months, I think, but you were planning on running or like doing a tour of Texas by foot and just sleeping wherever you stop running.
That's right.
And I was always curious how you were going to do that.
How was I going to do that?
Yeah, like, isn't it, I don't know, I feel like you'd die just being like, I'm going to just plop down and sleep tonight.
If the weather isn't so bad, I don't think so.
But what if there's, like,
That's the crazy part. That's the crazy part about our society is that most people would feel the same as you, that you feel like you just die if you don't have a home. But, like, for 99% of human history, that's the way it was.
Literally homeless people, they're still alive.
Right. And just, we were nomads. Everyone was homeless.
Yeah.
There was no homes. Shelter and homes is a pretty new thing in the history of human beings.
Yeah. And how did it come about that, like, you gotta buy land from who?
The government.
Right.
You guys said the same thing.
The whites, the government, the same thing.
Yeah. But that's the thing about this, the lines.
It's not
the imaginary lines on the map.
Yeah.
It's one of the dumbest things that every you know, there's, everyone's got a theme song and a flag and a logo.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that actually recently. The idea of cultural pride.
Yeah.
And national pride.
Because you're in Texas, that must be a major thing, no?
It's a major thing. America's probably the biggest, you know, Team America, you know, Team Us. But then even, like, state by state within America, there's, like, hate. And then the, you know, left and right sides.
So I'm curious, because you love being there, but I would assume that that element is something you really dislike.
Yeah, I mean, I dislike it about all human beings all over the planet. I don't think that this is a unique thing to Texas. I noticed it in
like Montreal,
Toronto. In Hispanic people in America who come from Mexico, who have like pride in the Mexican culture. But that too is like pretty recent. Like a lot of stuff from, and they kind of get insulted if you talk about, you know, change, I don't know, changing, there's like Mexican food, right? And like, you can't touch it. You can't change it. You can't touch it. It's disrespectful. But like Mexico.
They think like Tex-Mex is disrespectful.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. It's just like fusion and like people.
I recently read an article. I think it was New York Times wrote an article about California is the best bagel in the world.
Ooh.
And I like took offense to that.
Right. It's like the cultural appropriation, I guess, is the term, right? People are mad at, but it's like that's been going on forever. That's how society evolves. It's like you borrow things from other cultures that are cool, and you keep doing them. And like before Mexico existed, other people used corn and made tortillas, right? They didn't invent it.
Not only that, Tex-Mex food only exists because Mexican people came over and started cooking Mexican food in Texas.
Right.
So like, well, they're actually, the ones producing it.
Did you know that Texas used to be Mexico?
Well, yeah, the Alamo, right?
Yeah, okay. I didn't know.
Texaco?
No, I didn't know that that was the thing.
Texaco?
Well, that was the battle, right? I could be wrong. I'm not sure.
Texaco is the oil company, right?
Oh, I have
I think that's Texco. Maybe there's an I. Maybe.
What are we?
I guess none of us know anything.
Look, I'm on the internet, though.
Texaco.
That's the main point is we should all think that we know nothing.
Yeah.
And the problem is that we don't. We all think we know something.
If there's one thing that I know 100%,
the only
thing I know for sure is that I know nothing.
And whatever Snoop Dogg puts out now is going to be bad.
Unless it's another Soul Plane movie. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I've never seen Soul
Plane. You haven't seen Soul Plane?
Is it good?
No, it's not.
Okay, that's what I thought. It didn't look good.
If you surveyed everybody on Earth.
On Earth?
And just, everybody on Earth.
Yeah.
Biggest survey ever. Just answer one question, yes or no. Do you know anything?
Yeah, most people I think would say
yes. I feel like a lot of people would say yes. Because they're not as comics.
However, let me spin your question on its head. I would answer yes, because I know something that I
right.
know.
Yeah. Yeah, let me rearrange it. You ask everyone to rate from 0 to 100%.
Oh.
Out of all the things that you could know, how much do you know?
I would say maybe 2%.
Oh, I was gonna say 1,000 zeros after the decimal point.
0.00001%.
Because I honestly think humanity knows under 1% of what there is to know.
Right, right, right. Yeah, you're right.
Now, what do you think the average of this survey would be?
I feel like a lot of people would say maybe 50.
Really? You think that much? Oof.
Well, because I think 100% to know about the universe or whatever is a lot.
I think the average person would do a single digit answer.
A single digit answer?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think the average would be 5 to 10%.
Yeah.
Which I think is insanely high.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
Which I think is the main problem with our world.
Yeah.
That we don't all think it's, we know 0.00000001%, which means we know nothing.
Yeah.
I have a very low standard of humankind. That's why I said they all think 50%, because they're all just
themselves.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Some people would say, a ridiculously high number. I can't, the other day, I'm like, the more...
I can't imagine anyone saying over 50, though.
Yeah.
I think the more you know...
The worse it gets.
The more you actually know, the lower your percentage gets.
Yes, absolutely.
And that there's, kids that'll be 75%, right? Some kids would say, 100%, I know everything.
Well, I think wisdom... is essentially just understanding what you've learned, and that's it.
And then also what I have to learn.
Yeah,
but I think there's also a statistic where most people with high IQs or most intelligent people are the people who are extremely depressed.
Yeah, the more you know.
Mm.
Yeah,
because
money, more problems, but it's more knowledge, more
right.
depressed.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, because ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
It's true.
It is true. It's so true. I feel like that's why too.
Because you know what? There's, in terms of that saying, ignorance is bliss is more about, it's not learning things of value. It's learning the way things work and the way things are, and that's what's disappointing. Knowing hierarchies and backdoor deals and the way corporations and blah blah blah, the more you learn the worse it gets. But I don't think learning is necessarily knowledge, because knowledge has more to do with tangible value, and there's no value to learning everything. Because things are bad.
And because you can't learn everything.
Yeah. Well, I won't even say most things are bad. I think there's half-half in any situation. And I think even good things are half bad and bad things are half good. But
that's the thing, right? It's the perspective. because you could also look at everything as bad, or you can be a person that looks at everything as good.
For sure. I don't know if I told you, I recently tried buying a Facebook page off of someone.
Okay.
Off of a man in India.
Of course.
Who told me it was $500. I sent him $500, and then he ripped me off.
No!
Now...
You got ripped off by someone on the internet?
Who would have thought? Now, my first thought was obviously disappointment. Like, I'm upset that someone just stole $500 from me. However, I thought about it for a moment, and I was like, look, I'm glad that I didn't judge a book by its cover and just assume this Indian guy was going to rip me off, even though he did. And I kind of felt good about my conscience.
Okay.
And that was the silver lining to me. It was like, this was a positive experience that I'll gladly make the same mistake again.
That's why you're winning.
Yeah.
I mean, losing in your bank account, but winning in life.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know.
In the long run, that type of attitude will probably make you win in your bank account.
I think so. And later that day on the same, I tried buying a wrestling page for my wrestling podcast, and that's how he ripped me off. And later that day on that same wrestling podcast, I interviewed the owner of AEW and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, like,
did you tell him about you getting ripped off by them?
I should have. He would have just given me $500.
I know, yeah, for sure. Totally. That would have been like a good conversation.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how he would take that.
Yeah, what do you think about this whole
racist tangent? You could have went on like this racist rant.
Do I think about what?
The board. The board that is the playing board to this game of life. The board being Earth, of course.
So, honestly, when you honestly just mentioned this game of life, like, I don't even see myself, like, as a woman and as a minority and as a, like, a kind of, like, queer person, like, I don't even, like, see myself on any, like, board of this game called life. But I do understand that there's a game, like, that life is a game, and I do see myself playing, but I don't see myself, like, on the board.
So,
why? I don't understand any of that.
Well, it's been a white man's game for thousands of years.
I feel like if you want to just generalize, like, what the game of life is, like, and if you ask, like, anybody, like, it would all be, like, just, like, this, do you have a mortgage, blah, 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 like, you know, like, you, like, monetary values of, like, success.
I appreciate that. I don't mean that. Those are the rules that have been made by the shitty white people.
So
I'm talking about the blank slate of the board.
Everyone's playing.
Opportunity to like blank slate. Right.
That's just
opportunity is like, I feel like opportunities are like a first world thing, whereas like life.
But I don't mean opportunities in terms of like getting a job or getting ahead. I mean opportunities to literally wake up and do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, like getting down to the base values of like fit, like not necessarily feral, but like.
How do you want to live?
Just life.
Yep.
But before we get to that, on your point, I remember it sticks in my head. I had an interesting talk with...
Your point, Kayla's point?
Yeah. Okay. With my friend John about just the system that we live in. And she was saying, like, she just doesn't see herself playing because it's a white man's game, basically. And I remember talking to John about how, like, yeah, it's really good that there's, like, new opportunities and scholarships for people of color and new jobs. Like they're being more inclusive of reality shows or casting more colored people, like whatever. There's a million efforts being made these days. And I was telling him like that's a positive thing. And he was like, as long as there's a winner, there's a loser. So you can give opportunity to other people, but at the end of the day, you're just helping someone else win and someone else is going to lose. And the game's broken.
I just feel
why is there a winner?
Yeah.
What's winner mean?
Well, it's helping more people win. It's helping
well, what's win mean?
In an economic system.
Right, but that's not what I'm saying.
Right, no, I know. That's why I said before we get there.
Okay. So yeah, the game that has been, you know, put on this board and the rules are based off an economic scoreboard. And that's how we choose winner or loser. But I don't subscribe to that game.
I agree.
I'm saying that we are pieces, blank pieces, each human, and that the board game is the Earth, and that we have this crazy ability, unlike the other game, to actually have freedom of choice to do whatever we want, especially now in this age and year.
We've talked about it at length before, oftentimes on drugs, about how like the power of multiple brains together, like a lot of brain power put in the same direction, is so absurdly powerful, and yet the world is just all these different like people hitting each other and clashing and disagreeing, but it's so it's like almost a missed potential thing, like the disappointment of seeing how powerful people can be.
Yeah,
like if we could like all build pyramids with our mind powers and like telekinesis and stuff like that.
Stonehenge.
Yeah, building Stonehenge.
There's also a crazy danger in too many brains coming together.
Which I feel like
is in these like mega cities that are now prevalent, and that's where the shittiest parts of life are, when there's way too many people in one spot.
And I feel like any grouping of people eventually has a leader, and power corrupts everyone.
Right.
Even if you're the most noble, just person, if you're given ultimate power, someone's getting fucked.
Right. Yeah. So now back to our individual freedom of choice to not get fucked.
This is a way different podcast than the first one we did.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. Go ahead.
I don't have an answer other than veering off from the typical rules of the game and not playing their game. And by their, I mean the white guys. And just like, and this comes from a white guy who, I don't feel guilty for being a white guy. I see the, because I kind of feel it's like random. Like I didn't choose to be, totally. I had no choice to matter.
And as two privileged white guys, I think it's very important that privileged white guys identify that and don't feel guilty about it, because we can use it, we could benefit everyone for it.
And like all people of color and like most minorities and marginalized people want from like straight like white men is like, you know, your support and kind of like just, you know, at least you guys having like,
I don't think
our collective back,
but I don't think feeling guilty helps anybody.
No.
Yeah.
But making like the less woke white guys feel guilty.
Get on this level.
That's your job. Yeah.
I think the other extreme is bad too, though, of the minorities feeling like victims. Because even if it's true, that's not helpful.
I feel like they're like minorities usually aren't necessarily quote unquote. I mean, that's so hard to say, because I'm speaking as like quote unquote, like not quote unquote, because I'm actually an Asian woman. But like, you know, Asians are like part of the model minority and blah blah blah. But like, I think that, where was I even fucking going with this? God damn it, I just lost.
This episode's brought to you by THC spray.
and Lepco Vineyards wine. I forgot. If it comes back to me,
I do think that there's a victim mentality that is so generationally ingrained that people aren't aware that they have, but it is... You're set out in life from day one defeated, and it's hard to succeed when you're defeated.
Okay, right. But also, here's what I wanted to say. Like, minorities, like, aren't... I feel like, really, the only places where there are, like, truly, like, a minority, quote-unquote, minority demographic are in places like the United States or Canada or like Australia and England.
First world nations.
Yeah, like first world nations, where there's like a bunch of people coming in from other countries that might have been like disadvantaged or whatever. But it's like,
you're not from
like
here.
When they're in their own country, it's like we don't think of ourselves as my
right.
as victims. And there are definitely like in countries where like the population is more homogenous, like where it's more all of the same people. There are definitely like victims within that country, but like specifically in like more westernized countries, like cultured people do feel more like minorities, but
here's the thing I don't understand.
Okay.
Because I completely agree with you, and I feel like it's also a thing where the first world countries are winning this economic game.
And they're all like the settlers, like the colonizers are white people. So like the foundation of those countries where minorities feel like victims, the basis is like white culture.
But the way to get out of that is to not feel like the victim anymore, as hard as that sounds. You know?
Yeah. So that's like I've traveled to places where I'm the only white person.
Yeah. But you never feel like you're...
I never feel like I'm a minority, even though, like,
if anything,
obviously I'm a minority. I'm the only white person, but I don't feel like a victim.
That's literally, like, white privilege.
I know, but why, though?
Because it's, like, white people can go anywhere and feel like they're... It's okay.
The word because white people white people are at home on the planet.
Okay.
The planet is ours, and
but everyone should feel at home.
I agree with you, but white people have made non-white people feel like they're not.
But couldn't you argue either way that then like white people should be afraid to go? Wouldn't it be like people are hating white people then, and I should be afraid to go places where I'm the only white guy?
Because people are
because you don't give a fuck,
and people are less scared. Like, white people are the colonizers. You go to a country where it's not white people, they're not as likely to destroy you.
Like, white people have, like, when white, even in the specifically in the Philippines. I'm speaking for the Philippines, not speaking for, but...
No, you represent the Philippines.
I am the Philippines. No, because that's like the... I'm Filipino, so like I can't speak for other cultures, but like in terms of like what I've experienced in the Philippines, it's like, like we do hold white people to like a high standard, and like maybe... Because that's like our opportunity to like
white people are the first world
have like a white people like literally like represent the first world. When I was in the Philippines, I was like at some like resorts in the Philippines where like girls would be Filipino girls, like they would like seek out
anywhere in Asia, a white man's like the thing,
because they want like they want that. That taste of like the that opportunity at like the American dream.
The thing,
white people, like when a white person goes to like another country, it's like, oh, there's like an opportunity for like whatever, something's better. It's like, that's the representation of like a better life, just being like white.
I don't know.
But I think that goes, what's a better life? That goes back into the economic game.
Exactly.
For 100% sure. Is. You look at racism in America is an economic thing.
Yeah, right.
Black people have had quote unquote freedom for hundreds of years, but not really. There's still a racist system where they get sent in prison and made to be slaves still.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't wanna be the
So hold on, time out. Because I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. How do people stop feeling victimized and start feeling privileged?
So here's the first issue. Like, white people are not the only colonizers. This game's been going on a long time.
The Dutch?
Da Vinci?
Da Vinci?
No, but like, Attila the Hun was not white.
No, Genghis Khan totally was not white.
Of the Asian empires.
Yeah, Japan, China. Yeah. Well, Japan and China, pretty much,
I feel like this is a modern thing, like the last 200 years.
I would say like 500, but that's capitalism is.
Yeah.
What?
That's capitalism.
Right. Okay.
The world is run on capitalism, which is a white person thing.
Okay.
That's the problem. Okay.
So let's get back to.
But wait,
if you get outside the rules.
Hold on. What I do find interesting.
Yeah.
Is because Jews are white passing. They were second class citizens and were treated like garbage and killed by the millions. And then Jews were like, we're not victims. We're going to fucking take over shit.
Yeah.
And because they're white passing, did it.
Yeah. I guess it also depends on if you want to play the game or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am a white person who is not interested in the economic game at all. Yeah. I'm poorer than everybody, and I'm happier than most people.
Well, there's scientific data that proves the poorer countries are statistically happier in general.
Because I wonder if that's true.
So I wonder if that is also true in the richer countries of who's happier, the poor or rich people in the richer countries.
That's the problem, is no, because the poor people live in a system that is built for the rich country.
Okay, but I'm a poor person living in a rich country.
Yeah, you're an exempt. You're a minority in that sense.
Exception.
Right. So that is where I feel like I've made a breakthrough in terms of choosing not to play the game. And I know it's difficult because most people are going to immediately come with a response as to why they have to play the game. They live in this world and whatnot. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier about creativity. I think you could be creative enough to come up with your own game on this. That's the point of why we're here. You can come up with your own rules. There's cops and you can't break certain laws, but most laws are there so that you can't disrespect other human beings.
So I had a cool moment today where yesterday was my first day working this new job that I told you about, right?
Yes.
And it's a lot of money. It's more money than I've ever made at a job. However, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of stress and it's very demanding and they expect a lot from me. And today I was feeling stressed and I stopped for a moment and I thought to myself, I don't need to do this. I can live comfortably having the odd client here and there that I do creative work for, like I've been doing for a decade, and I get by just fine, and I'm a happy person, and I enjoy my life, and I have free time, and I am very fine going back to that. So if this doesn't work out, or they're not happy with me, or it's too much for me, I don't feel that pressure that I used to like, you know, this job's a lot of money, and it's I gotta focus on it, and I gotta take it seriously. Earlier,
right.
Too, I was like, I'm gonna stop for a bit, and I'm gonna paint for an hour or two, because if they're not happy with that, I don't need it. I'm doing it because
right.
I want to do it, and it seems fun, and I think I'll be successful at it, and I'll enjoy it. But if I'm not, then I'm not going to do it. And that was liberating. I've never had that feeling before.
Yeah, I think you're also in the great spot of being a minority in that mindset. Now, how do we get everyone else on that page? Kayla, how do you feel about it?
Speaking as a minority.
And someone who...
I mean, that's your first problem, right?
I'm a minority.
No.
Kinda.
That's literally my... I'm a minority, and also I'm a woman.
No, not to be a white privileged guy, but you're not a minority. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Isn't there more women on the planet than men?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like, if you really
want to
get into it.
But men are really tough.
there is probably more women than men, but I don't know if you remember this little thing called the Salem Witch Trials, where a bunch of women were like executed for like, I don't know, being sassy.
As long as men, you know, can overpower women, we are going to run it.
Yeah, you guys are going to run it. And,
but it's not about run it, right? Because it's run the game. But like another part of like the minority complex is the conversation now more than ever about inequality.
Well, it's an important conversation,
which is a good thing. But now everybody's like, oh, I'm a minority. I've been persecuted against. That's where I feel like the victim mentality can take over. To the point of like blinding people to finding
like,
solutions.
I feel like there's a difference between feeling like a victim in general and then like genuinely feeling not necessarily like you're a victim per se, but perhaps that you're like at a disadvantage within this community that you're now a part of.
So hold on. I understand what he's saying, that you are what you believe you are. And if you think you're a victim and you think you're at a disadvantage, you're going to be a victim and you're going to be at a disadvantage.
Right.
However, I don't think we're at the healing part yet. I think we're still at the airing of grievances, where you and I aren't the problem, but a lot of people that look like us still don't understand that. And right. that could be a conversation so that people can understand it, and then it starts to get better.
But my thing is, do you want to spend your life convincing these people, or do you want to just live your life?
It's hard to do, though. That's a privilege thing to say.
Like, for sure, like, live your own life, but at the same time, it's like, if you witness, like, other people, like, being, I don't know, particularly, like, maybe, not necessarily, unjust, yeah. or, like, you know, it's so hard, because, like,
I'm currently in a dark parking lot, right? yeah. Walking around, there's no other humans. If I wanted to, I could sleep here tonight. Right?
Yeah.
Does it matter what race I am, what gender I am?
That's the thing. She has a point here. If you were a black guy and you lay down there, there's a chance that a white guy sees it and kills you or calls the police.
Yeah.
Kills me?
No. Yeah.
Maybe not a high chance, but way more than a white guy.
Yeah. exactly.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. If I'm choosing as a white male, to sleep here tonight, I'm gonna find a place where no human being is finding me.
okay, right? Sure. Get
and
off.
I'm gonna do that, right? And I'm gonna do that, whatever race and whatever gender I am.
Because respect, no one else. Yeah.
Respect, but as a small 5 foot Asian,
you're better at hiding.
Yeah, you could hide better.
Yeah, I know, but I personally would not even feel safe.
Yeah, because if she got found,
I would
she's
not
in
feel
trouble.
Safe. I would not even feel safe, like, standing where you are. I'd be, like, looking around me, being like,
So I understand that. I do understand the women's point of view. And I'm not sure if part of your safety issue is the rape word.
Well,
the concept of rape is really fucked up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The concept of rape is real. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. So I understand that. I don't think that it's because you're Filipino, right? I think it's unfortunately because you're a woman and you're smaller than other men, then you're feeling unsafe. So I get that. But look at this moon behind me, right? All you got is you and this moon and the sky and the trees.
So
there's
small.
No other human.
But again, that's a pretty...
We are ants in this universe.
Because if it comes to worst case scenario, you feel equipped to deal with it. Whereas
not
like...
really. I think that's the problem. The thinking about worst case scenario.
Yeah, I'm going to jump to Alex's ship here because I think if everyone...
My minorities, you're on your own.
No. Let me silence you for a minute. if everyone was cool with just dying at any moment, we'd all be better off.
That's right.
Yeah. But that's also why, like, bringing it back to why you think the people in, like, less privileged countries are more happy. Did we talk about that?
No, why they feel less threatened?
I don't know. I feel like there was at one point in this episode, I'm a little bit drunk.
Yeah, when I said I was comfortable being the only white person in another country.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that part?
I don't remember. What were we talking about?
It's been a lot. It's been quite a bit since Alex made a wish at 11:11.
But literally, was the last thing that you were saying before I interrupted.
That if everyone just was cool with dying.
But if everyone was just cool with dying.
Would you feel more comfortable, Kayla, if you had like crazy martial arts skills or like some knife skills or you had a
mace?
Maybe
some sort of like cool move to take down anybody, even no matter
I definitely don't not think that I wouldn't put up a fight.
Wait, you don't not think that you wouldn't put up a fight?
I don't think that I wouldn't put up a fight, right. But like, I mean, I.
But
like,
if I was armed,
I wouldn't feel particularly safe.
My question
like, I wouldn't want to have to be in a situation where I would have to defend myself.
No one
period.
Does. But if you knew like a Vulcan death grip and someone just died, if you hit a pressure point, Would you feel more comfortable sleeping?
This one? You mean this one?
Yeah, to the esophagus. Would you feel more comfortable sleeping in that parking lot?
I would probably feel more comfortable sleeping in that parking lot if I was like with someone.
Because this explains gun laws.
I wouldn't even feel safer if I had a gun. I would still be like.
That's why people have guns, is to feel that safety, which I think is a crazy thing.
Because I would.
Why don't you? Why wouldn't you?
And possibly miss, and then what?
Yeah. And then what?
But do you not feel safe because of another human coming by and hurting you?
Yeah. Well, mainly my like, if I'm scared about anything, it's that like I'm going to be attacked or murdered.
By who, though? Why?
By, like, anyone.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It seems like that's a unlikely scenario in the grand scheme of things. Most people don't get murdered.
So that's.
But a lot of people do get assaulted. A lot of women get assaulted.
What's a lot, though?
A lot.
Like, I would say, like, one in three. What percentage?
Yeah.
Like, one in three? Literally one in, I look up statistics right now, how many women have been assaulted, like what percentage of it?
I would say
I don't agree with that stat though.
Because I literally say it's one in three women who have at least experienced sexual assault in their life.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that does not exist. I'm saying that doesn't exist if you live in different rules and you're sleeping in this parking lot alone.
That's fair.
That's because we're living in mega cities.
Yeah, one in three when you go to bars and live in a city around people, yes.
Yes.
But if you lived in a parking lot, then maybe not.
If you're camping in the woods alone, it's not one in three women.
And I guarantee if you spent a year in the woods surrounded by nobody, you'd feel less threatened. Because you'd start to acclimate to not feeling that way.
Yeah, but at the beginning, I'd still definitely be afraid that at any
For sure.
That's what we're saying.
So was I.
I often right?
So was I coming out of a home. I came from a civilized house, but now I'm like, why don't we all live off the land? The problem is these civilizations of mega cities and huge amounts of people relying on the government, relying on these systems of grocery stores to feed themselves, relying on water systems to drink themselves. Nobody can survive on their own if everything shut down. So you have to put yourself in a place to learn how to survive alone. And there's a lot of places in the world that you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, like, for sure. Like, I think what?
I was going to say, I'm often very conscious of that privilege in terms of, like, I'll go for a run at 2 a.m. without a phone or anything, or I'll walk home drunk from a bar. And, like, I'm very conscious of the fact that I never worry about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
I only recently became conscious about that, speaking with women who were not comfortable. And I'm like, oh,
like
I'm the big guy that they're scared of.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid.
I forget who it was. It might've been you, but I remember telling someone the value of leaving your home for at least a couple minutes a day without your phone in your pocket and just being disconnected out in the world and how valuable that is. And I don't know if it was you or not, but I told this to someone and they were like, no, I'm a woman. That's not okay. And I was like, oh, yeah, right.
I mean, depends on what time of day, but like particularly like I wouldn't leave someone's house without my phone charged unless I was getting,
like,
even if I was getting an Uber.
Would you go for a walk? Let's say for an hour along the canal and just alone and leave your phone at home.
No. I would go for a walk on the canal at nighttime.
With your phone.
With my phone or with like a friend. Yeah.
But Alex has gone out for 4 days without a phone.
But like I
phone and wallet.
I would go for the walk, but if I didn't have my phone, I'd definitely be like worried. Because I've actually like, this is like, as far as like I'm concerned and what I can remember, what I haven't like totally repressed. Like I was walking home from Belmont. Not walking home from Belmont, but like walking down Saint Laurent and walking towards like the next bus stop. And I was just walking, whatever. And I wasn't really like afraid before, but then this happened and I was like walking down the street, walking along Saint Laurent. It was like past 3 or something because it was pretty dead. I was just walking home after like a late night. And there was like this guy behind me and I didn't pay any attention to him. He was just walking behind me. And I was just walking, walking, walking. And then like a few minutes later, like he just, I think he was walking in front of me, like a few meters in front of me. And I wasn't paying any attention to him at all. Just walking. And then all of a sudden he turns around, faces me, runs towards me, grabs me, but just by the boob. And like, I mean, I say just by the boob because like, it wasn't like penetrative, but it was still
still a crazy move for anybody to do.
It made me realize like how, because like I said, I had never been necessarily worried about that kind of thing before. But and even though it was like something so minor.
But what he's saying is like, that might happen, but everyone should just live. And that might happen.
Now, I understand that you have.
So how about this person? Yeah, tell me, like, I don't know if you guys know. I don't know if you guys have spoken to all of your female friends.
Yeah, everyone.
But if you ask them, like, how many of you guys have been, like, assaulted by a 100%. Guy or raped by
absolutely.
A guy? Absolutely. Exactly. That's kind of, like, a different circumstance because it's, like, sure. I can't defend myself.
Sure.
I like I said.
That's the problem, right?
I thought that I would have been. It's not
because you're a 5'5 woman.
If I was put, I'm not 5'5, but thank you.
Did you say 5'5?
No,
5.
5 foot straight.
Five. You met me. I'm not 5'5".
Okay.
But like, yeah, when I look back on that situation, I'm like, yeah, I wish that I could have defended myself. Literally, all I did was I stood there in shock, and I looked back, and I just screamed, "What the fuck!" Like, literally,
answer.
Like, what the fuck.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was, like, walking behind this guy for maybe, like, 5-10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, he just spins around and assaults me.
That's kind of the thing.
But I get what you're saying because, unfortunately, the what the fuck moments have come mostly from the white men.
And not only that, more, like, women deal with it infinitely more than men do.
So how about this for a good start for a solution? Men have to take it upon themselves to teach their daughters to kick some fucking ass.
No, it's not. No! It's not the women's responsibility.
I was so on board with
that
you.
Is, what do you mean?
No,
obviously. No. Yeah. I know what you're going to take this. Obviously, guys need to fucking stop creating these what the fuck moments.
Thank you.
But
also,
I cannot have any impact on some fucking guy. I can have an impact on teaching my daughter.
I actually had a very similar discussion today. Like, as women with men, male friends, like, literally all we can ask from you guys, like, I feel like this is, like, such an absurd thing to ask, but it really shouldn't be. But if you guys have friends that are like creepy or like sexually assaulting in any sort of way,
yeah,
tell them that that's not fucking cool.
Like, I think back, not that anything was like
that's
illegal or scarring, but I do think back about, like, you know, wonderful days partying every night and going to clubs and taking girls back to the hotel, and like everything was consensual, but we weren't good guys 100% of the time, and I often think about that.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
Yeah.
I will start doing that.
Reflect on your own mannerisms, the mannerisms of your homies particularly.
And I think, like you said, teach daughters to kick ass, but more importantly, teach sons to not be assholes.
Respect women.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do think that generations get better and better. I do think that.
Yeah.
I think the generation that's coming up after us, the 6 and 10 year olds right now, will be a better society than we are. And we are already better than our parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can only hope.
All right.
You know, Mish Manaris has a very interesting theory that I really like. And I don't know if I believe it as much as he does, that he genuinely does, but I'd like to believe it. He thinks that, obviously, you know, there's an infinite number of planets out there. Life has to exist in outer space. And he believes that there's a lot of planets and a lot of alien life that know each other and cooperate and get along and are a very, like, neighborly kind of polite, friendly system. And that they're monitoring us, and we're just not good enough yet.
Right.
And one day when we deserve it, we'll join the Federation.
Right. We're very far away from deserving it.
You never know.
We're not vibrating at that frequency
yet.
No,
we're not. We've got these 5G towers everywhere.
Yeah. We're what, at like a 26 hertz?
Yeah. But I like that theory.
Yeah.
I like it too. All right. With that, I'll make my leave.
All right. Good wish.
Wait, I have to make a wish.
You make a wish.
You made your wish already.
Oh, yeah, I did.
My wish, I mean, it feels kind of like trivial now.
I want $1 million.
But kind of like relevant to like what you were saying about people's health. It's like, I have never personally felt like I've ever been like 100% at like top performance level in my own body. And I wish that one day, like I could, I wish that I will work towards at least operating at like 85%.
Yeah. Cause that's the thing, right? Is everyone has that ability. It's the work that goes into it that no one wants to do.
Yeah. And it's like, I know that after I work out, like I feel great, yeah. But it's just like the motivation, finding the motivation to actually like, okay, I'm going to work out now is like the hardest thing. And also to like, so have good meals for myself.
So you want to
sleep
know
at like a reasonable hour and da, da, da.
And he's probably more qualified to answer this. But one thing that I think is the answer to that,
yeah,
is it's not, you can't think of it in the future. Like, I want to be and I'm going to do this. And like, you have to decide this is the case. Yeah. You can see right over there on the top corner of my dry erase board. You can't there. But I used to track my weight. And I had it be like 282, 279, 276, to whatever, with the goal of getting to 240. And I was like, fuck this. I just wrote 240 over there. And now I make all my decisions based on being 240. And I'm just a guy who, I'm not 240 yet, but I live like I'm 240 and I will be because I decided I am.
How much do you weigh?
Now I think I'm like 270, but I'm 240.
You weigh more than two of me.
Yeah, for sure.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
This morning I weighed my...
Yeah.
And not to make you feel bad.
Can we make guesses?
Yeah, sure, guess.
180.
Less. Because I know that,
I don't
know
how tall you are.
I know peak beefy muscles glasses was what, like a 215-er?
Yeah, like the fattest was a 230.
Yeah. I'm going to say 164.
Yeah, we're at 168.
Nice.
How tall are you, Alex?
Lowest I've been. Sorry?
5'10".
How tall are you?
I'm tall. I'm 5'10".
What's your birthday?
February 26, 1988.
Okay, social security number?
I wish
he doesn't believe in that.
I'm out of the game.
Yeah.
Okay. Happy belated birthday. Super belated.
Yeah. Thank you. So I wish that we went with Kayla's wish first, because this would have been a completely different podcast. And I'd like to parlay this into a part two, potentially on my podcast, to talk about both of your health, because I have so many good answers for both of you.
Awesome.
For sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's fucking do it.
Stay tuned
for
that.
So wait, Alex, where can our like one or two viewers find you if you want to be found?
Okay. So little teaser. 168, 33 years old, the fittest I've ever been in my life. Yeah. The lightest I've been since like high school.
Yeah.
And where you can find me to find the answers is alex.perot on Instagram. And you two have my phone number. We can talk. We're going to have a second podcast. We're going to dive into the health aspects. I have very good answers for optimizing both of your healths. And then we're going to start a whole campaign of before and after pictures. Kayla's going to learn how to take a guy's life.
Good at the psychological aspect of taking a man's life. But it's more so like the self-defense.
Yeah.
And... Till next time.
Till next time. Thanks for stopping
by. Thanks, Alex.
Appreciate it, guys.
Peace.
All right.
Love you. Talk to you soon.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.